Sarah, have you seen that meme where it's like a very kind of thuggish looking guy with headphones on and a hoodie, and it says, you know, what I'm actually listening to, and it'll be like, we don't talk about Bruno or something?
Yes.
Okay, I feel like I coined that because back in the day, like in, I want to say college and a little bit after college, I was always on a Muni car or a BART train with my big headphones on listening to something. And I was like, I bet people are just thinking I'm listening to some hardcore, you know, pop music or rap. But I was always listening to When We're Human and We're Gonna Be from Princess and the Frog, because like for whatever reason, it pumped me up. I have a new one, which is relevant to this episode. I encourage everyone to go on Spotify and look up BYU Newsies, which is Brigham Young University, as in the Mormon University. There is an a cappella Mormon vocal group that does a Newsies medley that will lift your spirits. Like, what a vocal masterpiece for your ears. So if anybody sees me walking around in Oakland, that is what I am listening to probably like 80% of the time.
I love it. I'm going to have to listen to that on my way to go get a coffee this afternoon. Yeah, this is Newsies. This was the first time I had ever seen Newsies.
And what a beautiful introduction. We have Amy Shapiro on this episode, who is a dear friend and just as passionate about all the behind the scenes shenanigans, and she actually educated us on some existing content that I did not know about. But gosh, there is nothing better than just watching a bunch of young men dance with passion and rage about a union.
I loved the fact that when I saw this, I mean, we have, you know, a very young Christian Bale, and it literally just felt like Batman when he was a young newsie. Like, yes. that's what it felt like to me. And it was truly an honor to see where Bruce Wayne started.
And we talked about this on our Patreon episode. Everybody go and join our Patreon, patreon.com/saluteyourscorts. But right now on Disney Plus, Newsies, the Broadway production starring Jeremy Jordan, Andrew Keenan Bolger, is on Disney Plus. So everyone can go and check that out and compare the two, because there are some pretty big updates and differences in the characters and plot. And I also encourage everyone, if you want a little bit more newsy action after this, to listen to Scott Hasn't Seen with Sean Diston, Scott Aukerman, and their guest, Jess McKenna. They just did a Newsies episode as well. I think ours dives a lot more into the behind the scenes of stuff. I'm a little biased, but Newsies, so hot right now.
So hot right now. I can't wait for you to hear the beautiful voice of Amy Shapiro on this episode. She sings a little bit. I also sing a little bit, and I apologize in advance for that. Join us on our Patreon, join us on our Discord, follow us on all social media. I'll be sure to make a Pinterest board for this episode.
Everybody follow us on Pinterest, because Sarah's out here follow making us. Pinterest boards for herself, okay?
I am obsessed with making Pinterest boards for our episodes. Why, I do not know. But I've fallen a little bit behind, so I'm going to have to up that a little bit. But yeah, welcome to Newsies.
So everybody jump in the air and do a heel click, because it's time to sell some papers. I would love your initial thoughts on your first open mouth tongue Disney kiss in a film. Please discuss.
That's funny, because I literally didn't even realize that. All, like, the biggest takeaway I had was just, this is boy Annie. And the fact that they were older went right over my head. I was just like, cool.
I love that for you. I think we need to bring in our guest immediately, because we have an expert in the space with us today. Folks, welcome to the show, the one, the only, Amy Shapiro. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me. I'm just delighted to be here. Pleased as punch.
I'm so excited, because I, like Chloe said, this is my first time ever seeing Newsies, and she was so excited to introduce it to me that I explicitly refrained from like looking anything up prior to watching it, like seeing anything. And I'm just excited to have two people who actually like know about it and can tell me a little bit about what they felt watching it again, or, you know, for the first time back in the day. Because otherwise it would just be me being like, what is this?
Right. Well, likewise, I, you know, for me in my like insular world, I'm surprised that it like it doesn't even occur to me that like someone around my age has never seen Newsies before. And so that's really exciting that you actually sat through and watched it. TBH, it's hard for me to like get through the first half because I feel like now I have ADD and it just starts to get really, really slow in the second half. But man, that first half really packs a punch. So yeah, I'm excited to just like hear from like virgin ears their experience of Newsies.
I will say I did start deep diving into the history of the actual like strike towards the second half. And right, I have some right. questions, but we'll get there.
First of all, just to set the scene here, Amy and I know each other from back in the day doing musical theater. In fact, we've never done a show together. We only met in audition waiting mm-hmm. rooms. Mm-hmm. Amy, what was this show to you growing up? Like, I feel like for us, we're in this unique situation where there's one woman in this musical. So this was never a musical I saw myself being in necessarily. And we're going to get into the logistics of the new Broadway production and how more, I think it's a little bit more of a feminist tale in this new version. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what was right. Newsies in your life history?
So I think like most people who saw Newsies did not see it in the theater, saw it on VHS. And I was, you know, I think I might have been in middle school at the time when I saw it, and I went home. I was at my friend's house and she put it on and I was just like blown away at the choreography. I thought the songs were really catchy, and I love a period piece with some real history in it. Like, let's talk about, you know, and sing about, you know, real hard facts that actually happened. So I just got into it. And I think there was a summer, probably around like the summer of 1997 or 98, that I probably watched it almost every day because I was obsessed. And I don't know, maybe we're going to get into it, but there is a part in the movie that I always wanted to be. And she's a very small part. And at one point, I actually had an ex of mine give me write the 16 bars out so that I could use it for an audition, and maybe we'll talk about it because it's in the beginning of the movie.
Oh my gosh, but I know exactly what you're gonna say, because
of course you do.
I could have not watched this back, y'all. Like, I have seen this movie so many times, I have it memorized. I didn't need to watch it again because I could quote it throughout the whole thing. I'm pretty sure that Newsies initiated puberty for me because I was not super boy crazy like through elementary school. I think I discovered Newsies middle school, early high school, I want to say.
Right.
And there's just something about a dancing young man that really yeah. just set me off as a young child, so much so that when I went to the California State Fair with my good friend Kelly Romero, I named my goldfish that I won in one of the midway games, like, I think we named ours like Racetrack and like Specs, like
amazing,
or Crunchy. Like, we named them. We were that nerdy about Newsies. We were just so obsessed. And I was introduced to Newsies through the special edition gold DVD, which had some really great behind the scenes features that I will be talking about later. Mm-hmm. But this was like right when the internet first started going up. And, you know, for those youngins out there, it used to not be super easy to just Google like, where are they now? But I remember immediately looking up all these boys being like, what do they look like now? What are they doing? I vividly remember the one that I had the biggest crush on is Trey Parker. Not to be confused with Trey Parker of South Park fame. And he played Kid Blink, which sounds like a Burger King Kids Club character, but it's not.
That's actually – do you know the history of Kid Blink?
No.
Kid Blink is the actual dude. It's the actual Jack Kelly.
What?
So Jack Kelly was like a fictitious, but
– No, Kid Jack Blink. Kelly was not fictitious.
What?
Her name was Annie Kelly, and she was the one – woman, girl, news girl, oh. who was a part of this whole thing, and I am so mad that they chose to take Annie out and put Jack in. What? Sorry.
This oh man, wow.
Female yeah. newsy erasure. Like yeah. Yeah. I cannot What's stand that? For.
I was no. just so sad. But yeah. yes, but you're right. He like
Kid like, Blink it was the real was the like, Brooklyn leader. Kid yeah. that actually led the newsies to strike. So
well, yeah. he was the cutest, blondest one. And I remember Googling him and finding out that in the 80s he was in some like cool like boy band that didn't get off the ground very much. But I was very obsessed with Kid Blink. And this truly, I was just like waiting for this to go to Broadway for the longest time. Finally saw the touring production, was like, okay, cute. Like, glad that these male dancers are getting work. It's a good show. But Sarah, if you're not familiar, in the Broadway version, the Bill Pullman character, who is sort of our King of New York, like, that is a woman and takes the place of the female love interest of Jack Kelly. So it's a little bit more feminist. She's like trying to get a big story in the paper. She does the dance in King of New York. But this film, y'all, like and anytime I would meet someone who's seen Newsies, I was like, you know, like it was like a secret like society that we were all in. But truly just I know too many. I know all the IMDb trivia facts about this because like that's where I spent all my time on Broadway World message board, just talking about Newsies all the ding dong day. Now, Sarah, had you heard of Newsies? Was it in your subconscious at all?
Barely. Barely. I feel like I heard of it, like, I don't know. One of my very good friends in high school was really big into theater, and I feel like, and also kind of Disney like I was, and I feel like she kind of mentioned it in passing, but I didn't know about it. I will say, though, like, on the comment of like cute boys or whatever. The first time I watched this a couple days ago, all I could think of is Christian Bale. Like, this is basically Batman as a tough kid guy. Like, he looks identical. He looks like yeah. Christian Bale now. And then my husband Adrian was watching with us watching with me. And he was like, Christian Bale is exactly the same character he is in every other movie that he's in. Yeah, and I loved it.
Well, I would say maybe American Psycho is a little bit different.
I mean, I would say Batman is pretty much an American Psycho. I don't know. Yeah.
No, I would say Newsies is everything. No, but truly, this was one of his big movies. Yeah. And he was not a dancer. So there's this – I highly recommend anybody to go onto YouTube, check out the Newsies, See All About It special edition feature. To give you an idea, the DVD had like – translations of Newsies, and it was like paper, papes, like translating all of the lingo of the Newsies. But it also had this behind the scenes, we got to put a clip in it right here, Sarah, where it's like Aaron Lauer Jr. and a bunch of people coming out of the car being like, here on the set at Newsies.
Ever wonder what it's like to be in a movie? Well, here we are at Walt Disney Studios. We're going to give you a glimpse of what it was like for us.
Think of it. We learned how to dance, sing, and even fight like real stuntmen.
It was the best. We even made some new friends along the way.
That's right. Walt Disney Studios decided to make a new movie called Newsies.
And they're all wearing these like Letterman jackets that are very 80s. And I remember being obsessed with like, oh my God, like Aaron, who's the voice of Goofy, Max Goof, the singing voice from a Goofy movie is in this. And like, I found out all this behind the scenes stuff, including Kenny Ortega, who is the director not only of High School Musical 1, 2, and 3, directed Xanadu, was Michael Jackson's choreographer. Basically,
choreographed Dirty Dancing as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, he was the big choreographer director dude of that time and of our time now, to be perfectly honest. And I remember thinking like how much fun it must have been to be behind the scenes working on this. And they have footage in that behind the scenes footage of them going to Newsy boot camp where they're all like dancing and in sweatpants and it's very 80s. And I remember being like, oh my God, I wish I could just be like the one girl Newsy who could like hang out with all of them and be their friend. That's what
I say this podcast should just be like an advocate for getting Annie her appropriate role, Annie Kelly, her appropriate role. So then that way you can be Annie in the Broadway revival.
Or what if we do something where it actually is Annie Warbucks? And so like it's, but oh wait, the time period, we can't go. Yeah. Maybe Annie Warbucks builds a time machine. So she goes back in time and then helps with the kids' strike in New York City.
I have an idea.
Or it could be her grandma that she's named after.
Well, she's an orphan. Okay.
No, but we know, like, I mean, she had a name. Her parents gave her a name.
True.
Let's give a vehicle to this role that you were talking about, Amy, because I know exactly who you're talking about. I can only assume you are speaking to the only and first woman we hear singing in this entire film, which is probably nun number one, I would assume.
I don't even think she's a nun. I think she's just a wayward mom searching for her son Patrick in a crowd. And it is the perfect 16 bars. And I love it. And she kind of gives me vibes of, I forget the character, but you know, the younger white nun in Sister Act.
Yes.
She gives me like those vibes, you know, but
very much.
Anyways, do you know what we're talking about, Sarah?
I still need to rewatch Sister Act. It's been like 2 decades.
Can I sing on this show?
Is please. That allowed? Yes, please.
Okay. Hold on. She goes,
Patrick, just give me half a cup, darling, something to fill me up.
Since you left me, I am undone.
I've got to find an angle.
Mother loves you. God save my son. And it's just like the best.
Never hear from her again. Nope. You're like, surely there's something being set up here. This is the best line of the lyric of the whole piece so far, Alan Menken. But no, we never hear from her again.
No.
Can I just say, anyways, as a non-singer, you literally gave me chills. So thank you.
Aw, that's so sweet. Thank
truly.
You.
Amy is an angel on this earth. I really thought it was the same actress. Now that you're mentioning that lady from Sister Act, I just assumed, like, that's the lady from Sister Act.
That's the lady. I don't know. Could be.
But I remember watching Newsies and being like, oh, so this is going to be, like, a heart-wrenching plot line where a mother is reunited with son.
No.
Never. Never to be heard from again. Not a lot of women in this movie. But let's talk about that first number because...
Cool. It's a good one. It's an opening of openings. How long is that? It's a long freaking number.
It's an Alan Menken intro. So we're talking like, you know, Alan Menken did all the greats. Didn't he do, he did Beauty and the Beast, Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Mermaid, all of those Aladdin.
Beautiful setting the scene songs like Arabian Nights. Like he's just so good. I mean, Little Shop of Horrors, I think, is one of the best like scene setting exposition things ever. And the fact that he's able to incorporate like 30 to 40 different Newsies in one intro song is like incredible.
Yeah. Right. You can only imagine like if Howard Ashman was still alive to partner with Alan Menken on Newsies, because a lot of people like really pooped on the songs in this movie for some reason when it came out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? These songs are legit. Yeah. Anyways, especially the rhymes in the beginning of that song, you know, like so cute with their little New York City accents. I think this is a great opening number, and it, you know, brings the whole town together. It's great.
And when they open up, I remember I was very active on LiveJournal when this came out, and there were a lot of like Newsy fan pages, and you know how the mayor's daughter is mentioned, like, I want to say twice in the film by Kid Blink. Ask me how I know. Not that I was obsessed with Kid Blink, you guys. But there's a lot of, like, references to, like, a Saturday night with the mayor's daughter. Or just, like, I'm going to kiss a girl. And every girl who was in this, like, LiveJournal group would be, like, mayor's daughter, 89. Like, because there was, like, no female representation in this film. And who are you going to identify, like, with the one girl who's just, like, kind of in it, doesn't sing, and is sort of Jack Kelly's love interest? But I love, like, I've never seen Bugsy Malone. I need to. It's on my watch list. Oh, my God.
Yes, you do.
But I love the concept of, like, children acting like adults. And Max Casella, a.k.a. voice of Timon from Lion King, who's sort of like, hey, I'm a newsie. Like, let me see. Which character does he play? He is Max. He's Racetrack Higgins. I just love when young children are, like, in productions of Guys and Dolls or pretending to be, like, older New York gangsters. I just love that trope so much.
Come on, it's a rigged deck. They got all the marbles, okay?
And just like seeing children smoke little cigars. I mean, I know it's terrible for their lungs.
Right.
But there's just something about that opening with all of them shaving and in this like orphanage, not orphanage, and like selling right. the papes that just like for a teenage Chloe just was a right. beautiful, a thing of beauty.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a good one. How did you feel about the opening number, Sarah? Like that was your intro to this movie. You hadn't seen it yet.
It was. I mean, literally my first note was this is Boy Annie. But then I noticed that Christian Bale did not dance a ton in that opening number. He did end up doing like a little solo dance thing. But yeah, like I just like it like stood out to me. I was like, wait, why is that dude just kind of shimmying for a second? Oh, it's Christian Bale. Okay. And then I loved the like, is dichotomy the right word? Of the like bowl hats versus the floppy hats of like, you know, we're the newsies and like, oh, we're the little like annoying guys. I don't know the right words.
Y'all and there's like one little chubby kid who just has a deep voice like this.
Yeah.
And he's just like always cut to him as a punchline.
Yeah.
And I feel like I just love, you're totally right. Like the fashion.
Yeah.
There's like different style. There's like sexy newsies. There's nerdy.
Yeah.
This is a nerdy newsy. It is Boy Annie.
It is Boy Annie. Yeah. And I was like, you know, this, they're clearly overacting, but it is a musical, right? And you're supposed to overact in a musical. And it also was like, you know, 90s movie. And I feel like 90s, there was a lot of overacting in movies, but that's what made it fun. Cause like you said, everyone was a character, not just like a person in that world, if that makes sense.
Right. I also think there's just something so magical about anything that is filmed in that like Warner Brothers Disney yes. lot. Because yes. like, you know, this is where we've had some of the greats, right? Like can't think of any of them right now. But yeah. if you've ever done the Universal Studios tour, you drive right through there. Right. Oh, right. Christmas. I think the Dolly Parton Christmas in Something Square maybe was filmed there. And it's the just kind of every yeah. town, USA,
right.
you know, just such a classic film.
There's a drama with the set for this one, for the Newsies set. Did you guys read about that?
No.
No.
So apparently right before they were going to start filming, there was actually a fire on the old Universal Studios New York backlot. And so Disney actually like paid to rebuild it. And they're actually stoked on it because they built it basically to fit what their production yeah. wanted. And then there was this whole like, because Disney built it, but it was on the Universal Studios lot, who owned it, and Martin Scorsese or one of those guys wanted to use it anyways. It was like this whole ordeal with this set. So
set drops.
But yeah, it was like built to Newsies. So now that set is built. And so when you see that set, it's actually the Newsies. It's literally the Newsies set.
We have
That's
to go.
So cool. That's so cool.
So and Newsies going back to Christian Bale not dancing, I found out that Christian Bale didn't know that Newsies was going to be a musical. I guess it wasn't originally. It was written as a play. And then in 89, when Little Mermaid did well, they're like, we're going to turn this into a musical. And maybe Bale had already signed the contract or whatever. And I can't validate this. I couldn't validate this, but I feel like I heard at one point somebody quoted Christian Bale when asking him about doing a Batman and Robin movie. And Christian Bale said, I'd rather do Newsies 2 before I'd ever do a Batman and Robin movie.
Okay.
And he hated that it was a musical. He did it reluctantly. And then he did Swing Kids after that. So I guess he got over himself. But anyways.
Oh my goodness.
Those are my two bits.
I'm so glad that it wasn't a straight non-musical piece because when I tell you every time I've seen this film, and this is no shame to the wonderful actors in this film, but as a child watching Pulitzer and Hearst argue, like not interested
Snooze
about
totally.
Unions, strikes, like no.
Yeah, so, totally.
We were talking about first impressions, and I gotta say, because someone in my household did not have a good first impression of this film. Miss Ayla, my 3-year-old, she, to be fair, she doesn't often like new films. She would much rather rewatch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or watch Beck Bro Jack on YouTube play Minecraft or something like that. But I, you know, I did my thing where I just kind of put it on in the living room and I just kind of sat down and then, you know, made loud noises like, oh my gosh, wait, what's that? To try to entice her. So she sat down on the couch, and I just want to give you, set the scene here. She sat on the couch right next to me and she said, I don't want to watch this. So she went into the room. She grabbed an iPad. She came out into the living room and she said, I'm going to turn it up all the way loud. And I said, no, you're not going to do that. If you want to watch that, you can watch it in another room. She turns it up all the way loud, starts watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, like as loud as can be, right next to me as Newsies is playing. And I had to be like, no, child, like go into my room. If you want to watch that, you do not have to watch this with me. Anyways, here's her sass for you.
Why are you putting your iPad on super loud in here?
Because I want to hear my movie.
And why can't you go watch your movie in my room?
I can't because I'm going to hear this really loud voice at your movie.
Okay, so why don't you go into your room with Larry and Larry and watch your iPad with the door closed?
But it's going to hear them.
Turn it down. You don't have to have it super loud if you're in your room with the door closed.
Okay.
Before you go, can you let Winston out?
Yeah, I can hear Winston.
Okay, so if you didn't understand three-year-old talk, I don't blame you. But basically, I was like, why is this so loud? And she's like, because I want to hear my movie. And I'm like, so take it into my room. And she goes, no, because your movie's so loud, it's going to still be loud in your room. And I was like, then take it into your room with the door closed. And she's like, no, because my movie's so loud, it's going to scare Larry and Larry, which, by the way, are her two hamsters. And I said, well, if it's in your room, you can turn it down because the door will be closed and you won't be hearing mine. And then Larry and Larry won't get scared. And she was like, okay, fine. And so she did it.
I think quick update from Sarah. Please tell us about Larry and Larry's assigned genders. I think that's a very important new character to the podcast.
In addition to watching Beck Bro Jack on YouTube, she also likes to watch this one channel where hamsters go through these elaborate mazes. And so one day she was like, can we please have hamsters? And I said, okay, let's go get some hamsters. And the sales clerk told us these are two girls hamsters. And so I told Ayla, you know, they're two girls. What names do you want to give them? And she said, no, one's a boy and one's a girl because boys can have vaginas. And I said, that's true. So one's a boy, one's a girl. What are their names? And she said, Larry and Larry. I said, great. So Larry and Larry are mom and baby, and one's a girl and one's a boy. Whether the mom's the girl or the boy, I'm still not sure. We just know that one's a boy, one's a girl, one's a mom, one's a baby, and they're both named Larry.
Speaking of the Larrys, I feel like there's a lot of like nuanced things that I probably picked up the fifth or sixth time watching this, maybe the 13th or 15th, like things that are just referenced in Newsies, like the Delanceys, like, oh, those good Delancey brothers come out swinging, like things that were just assumed to know about this world. I get the impression that a lot was cut from this film, which is wild to me because it is a long film with a lot of exposition.
Really long.
And a lot of just like scene setting. But before we get to the very age inappropriate Anne Margaret cameo, let's talk about Santa Fe, because this is an iconic dance number from a non-dancer. I would say a dance solo, if you will. In the behind the scenes footage, they do talk to Christian Bale quite a bit. And he's like, in his, you know, very cute Australian accent, being like, I'm not a dancer and I don't like to dance. And this is not fun for me and I don't enjoy it. And the anguish in his face to what did make it to film. And I've heard rumor, and I don't know if this is true or if this is just things I used to see on the Broadway World message boards, that the VHS tape has a longer cut of the dance scene than the DVD. Like over time, it has been edited down because it was very cringy. Allegedly. We need to find like the extended dance cut. But something that I do know from the behind the scenes features is Christian Bale in the scenes where he's on top of a horse, they had a lot of trouble filming it. And he's actually on the shoulders of a PA, just like going like this so they can get the shot. So when he's like, Santa Fe, are you there? Like, he's not on a horse. He is on a man. And that's can't watch it without thinking that each time.
I was shocked that he just like up and stole a horse in that scene, by the way.
True. Very true.
Go ahead.
His vocals are trying.
Trying.
As a vocalist, Amy, what are your thoughts on Christian Bale's performance in this scene and film?
I mean, I remember even when I was younger, probably fast forwarding through that song because it's a pretty boring song and his vocals leave something left to be desired. I always thought that he was a weird casting choice because all the other guys in the show, you know, in the movie could sing and dance and stuff, but and he didn't even have star power at the time. So I think his Brooklyn accent was pretty bad. But yeah, I mean, bless his heart, he tried.
And we should also say that Santa Fe, for those who are not in musical theater, you included, Sarah, is a very popular audition song for young boys. And it's what we call in the industry an I want song, where, you know, you're wishing for something. It's very much that like Hunchback of Notre Dame, like out there kind of song. Mm-hmm. But I have heard many a 12-year-old boy try to scrawled for these notes in falsetto, most of them better than Christian Bale, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Can anyone explain why Santa Fe is such a like haven? That was one thing. All of a sudden he just started singing about Santa Fe, which that's fine. I'm not saying any shade to Santa Fe. It's just like he just started this whole I want song on Santa Fe and I was like, why?
Didn't you see, I want to, isn't there like some brochure that he had read or, because he's like cowboy, right? He's Jack, and like Santa Fe, and like, I don't know, maybe we can look at the history of like when New Mexico became a state, and I have no idea maybe when the Alamo like the was or best. Whenever, but maybe, yeah, that was, and it was 1899, right? So people had already been out west for the gold rush, so I don't know, maybe Santa Fe was like trying to get people in New York at the time to move there. I don't know. I have no idea.
I remember thinking, because I was, you know, in my 12, 13 when I watched this, this was also around the time I had first heard Rent for the first time, mm-hmm. where they also sing about Santa Fe. And I was like, wait a second, is this some like haven that I'm unaware of? Like, why is everyone singing about Santa Fe musical?
I'm pretty sure Newsies was a huge influence for Jonathan Larson. It had to be.
I could see that.
Some other things in Newsies that give me Rent vibes. Things in Rent that give me Newsies vibes.
Huh.
I have yet to see Rent also.
Okay. Well, adding that to
Sorry.
The list.
but by the way, New Mexico was not admitted to the United States until 1912. So I think you're right. It was like, the Wild Wild West. It was like no man's land. Or I mean, it wasn't. Obviously, it was indigenous.
It was probably a territory at that time, but it might, yeah, it was still part of Mexico. Interesting. Right. Okay, yeah, then that's probably why, because he could have been like an outlaw cowboy in Santa Fe.
I love that for him. Mm-hmm. Now comes the part of the film that has disturbed me since I was a child, which is Anne Margaret playing what I can only describe to be a washed up burlesque performer in some vaudeville house. And I didn't know who Anne Margaret was when I first watched this film as a youth, because, you know, not a lot of children are watching old Elvis films. And I, of course, had seen Bye Bye Birdie. And when I put that together, I was like, that's the same person? Right. I have seen Newsies live on stage within the last, I want to say, 8 years. This role didn't change too much, except it's a little bit typically played by a little bit of a younger woman. But what were your thoughts watching this, Amy, when you were younger? Did you know who Anne Margaret was? I did not.
Seeing her in this, I want to say she was put in here for like the parents or the grandparents or something, because seeing her, I know about who Anne Margaret is through Newsies. And I have a really good friend. His name is Jonathan Hoover at Inappropriate Patty on Instagram. He's got the followers. And he still is one of my best friends. And we would watch this, and he is a total musical theater nerd. And so he kind of helped me learn who Anne Margaret was. Because again, this was, you know, before the internet, right? You couldn't just Google things. And so, and I was like, oh yeah, Bye Bye Birdie, stuff like that. So I then created for myself, like, oh yeah, I've been a fan of Anne Margaret for so long. I don't know. I thought I was being cool, I guess. But yeah, she was never really known to be that great of a singer. She was more of a dancer, even in her prime. So yeah, I thought that was a weird casting choice, but apparently like Gene Kelly was also around while they were filming it. So there must've just been some producer that was just old school that was like getting, you know, old Hollywood people in on this movie, maybe as a good luck charm or something. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I recall seeing this film and being like 13 and being so desperately in love with Christian Bale and being like, did they bone? Like, did Anne Margaret and Christian Bale? Because there's a very like flirty relationship there, yes, that same, does come off as like motherly, grandmotherly, but also it's like kind of sexy. And I was just like, I don't know, you guys.
No, it comes off definitely more than mother or grandmother. Yeah, and there was a lot of that like discrepancy in that scene in particular, because they like come in and they're like kind of like boys like hiding from the law, but then, you know, there's that flirty scene, and then all of a sudden they're like passing out candy while she's like dancing on stage, like you said, kind of like a burlesque dancer. And I'm like, why is there candy in this, like, I don't. Yeah, it was kind of all over the place.
The only thing I had seen in my life like sexy like this at this point, I mean, like, I grew up being exposed to like very sexy stuff in my dad's shows that I probably should. But I remember the closest archetype to this woman that I had seen was the bear from the Country Bear Jamboree, who would like come down on that swing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's something sexy about this, but it's a bear. And it was like one of those things where it's like, this is for the grown-ups. Like, I'm supposed to enjoy that this person has a pretty parasol and a pretty dress, but like there's something going over my head here. And it's right. Just like you said, Sarah, like it's weird because it's like a hall full of young men. And I'm like, is this motherly or sexual, or is it both? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, very weird.
I mean, historically speaking, right, burlesque and vaudeville, like, that was the entertainment of the day.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense for a character like that to be in this plot, you know, the Evelyn Nesbitt type of character. But why Anne Margaret?
Why?
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Very strange. And she's only really in the film once, right? Like, we don't really see her again.
She does come back at the end. They're doing like a big show, and that's where they're like meeting to like plan the big strike or something. And
yeah, they do their speeches and stuff.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Sarah, have you seen the movie Big before with Tom Hanks?
Yes.
Did you recognize young Tom Hanks in this film?
No. What?
So the like the counterpart to Jack Kelly, so our young ingenue straight man who plays what is his name? David Jacobs, David Moscow, is young Tom Hanks from Big.
I thought you were saying
Tom Hanks was in this.
Me too. Movie. I was like, what?
And I was like, wasn't he busy filming Forrest Gump at this time? No, I don't think he was in this movie.
I was really confused.
Tom Hanks would have been great in the Bill Pullman role, gotta say. I mean, Bill Pullman rocked it, but
also, like, I never until like I think I watched this movie like a month ago or something, and I was like, oh man, Bill Pullman's like pretty good looking. I didn't recognize it as a younger person, but now as an older person, and now like Bill Pullman's like old, but he got it going on back then.
Yeah. I remember all of the previews for this, like, really sold the, like, featuring Robert Duvall and Margaret. And I was like, I don't know who these people are. I just show me the boys. Like, show me the teen boys.
Right. But did we skip over? I just want to make sure we didn't skip over The World Will Know.
Oh, of course. The World Will Know, where the strike is initiated, essentially. Right. I don't have a lot of thoughts on The World Will Know because it just lives beating inside my heart at all times.
Right. Well, and it comes back later, right? There's the reprise later when they're like actually making their own papes.
Yes.
Right. But yeah. Oh, and Seize the Day, though. now is the time to seize the day. That's like got to me, like seize the day is almost like anthemic of this movie, you know, and the like it's such a like, you know, in the like neighbor to neighbor, father to son. Like I just like love, I love that song. Like that to me is like 90s show choir. Like I was in a little like show choir thing and like I was pumped when I got to like do that song, you know, and the choreography, mm-hmm. it's like a little bit hip hop or whatever. I feel like that is like the song of this movie.
It slaps. And I recently, and my Spotify recommended, and I encourage everyone to listen to this. We'll put a clip of it right here. There is I want to say it's a Brigham Young, it's a Mormon university, a cappella vocal group cover of a Newsy medley. And it's a bop, y'all. I mean, I'm not around here listening to just like choral arrangements to Newsies all the time, but when it pops up in my feed, I gotta give credit where credit is due. There are so many bops in this film. Like, the world will know, seize the day. I have a lot to say about King of New York. We're almost there. But like, when I think of this film, like when I close my eyes and I'm like, what is Newsies visually to me? It's just like a lot of young boys dancing in the dirt. Like hip hop, but also like 1800s clothes. And it's that like weird intersection of like almost like Spring Awakening, the musical, where it's like old school fashion, new school music. Like my heart just pitter patters for.
How did you feel about Seize the Day, Sarah? Did it get your heart racing?
I'm trying to remember the whole song because I'm really bad.
It's, now is the time to seize the day. Now is the
thank
time.
You. Yes.
Wrong.
Yes.
Send out the united if we're united.
Yes.
So, like kicking and just like jigs. Like just a lot of like, arms up and like swinging and a lot of do-si-dos among the Newsies.
I have a note that says the skipping is the best. So yes, I do remember now. I'm really bad at remembering things, but I loved it. And that actually was the moment when I went into it like a mini dive into, oh my gosh, like, you know, who was the choreographer for this? Like, I really loved this whole song and everything that was happening. And that was when I realized that Newsies was a Disney movie first and then a Broadway musical. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that, like, because that one song was the moment that I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And if you listen to, because this is the kind of nerd I was. So I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but as a child, I watched every Blockbuster video A to Z in like the one stanchion that we had in the Sacramento, you know, Blockbuster. And I remember when I listened to the DVD commentary on this, you know, it was literally like Kenny Ortega and all these folks being like, Broadway, call us if you want to do Newsies on Broadway. Like, this is pre-Broadway run, right? And they're just like, all we want to do is bring Newsies to Broadway. Of course, that did eventually end up happening with some slight changes. But there, so many of these songs are absolute bops. And I think it's like the fact that this is an original Alan Menken and King of New York, they say in the special edition commentary that like this was literally a song where they're like, we need a song here. And then Alan Menken went to a piano, kind of like plunked out King of New York. They learned it that day. And it was like a 24-hour turnaround that like they're just like, this needs a song. Like they get they find out that they're in the paper. We need to put a song here with Bill Pullman. And Bill Pullman can't really sing, so give him like one line. And I think it's the best song in the musical.
It's a really good one. And I was so learning that, you know, and wondering like, why did it take them so long to turn this into a Broadway musical? Apparently, the reason behind it was this was a flop. This was like the worst performing live action movie that Disney ever released to theaters. And when they found out enough, you know, that like, oh, high schools are like doing unauthorized versions of this, they were like, we can recoup some of that money that we lost by putting this on Broadway. And I'm pretty sure they have at this point. So
yeah, they're like, think of all the Catholic boys high schools that will put this on in perpetuity.
And then, and all of the young girls that are just that'll put their ponytails in a Newsies cap and play boys.
Yeah. So true.
All over the country.
I think King of New York truly is my most listened song. I had the CD. Also, I should mention the CD for this, I had to get off of eBay, I think, as a child. And the cover was this little newsboy. I think it's the cover of the DVD cover as well, where he's doing a little newsy heel click. But when you moved the CD from left to right, it was one of those holographic DVDs. So it was him going from jumping to like not jumping. Truly, this King of New York was such a bop. And when I found out that it was made in 24 hours, I was like, oh, Alan Menken is a genius. Like, this is a music genius. Mm-hmm. I think this is like around the time where, again, like the internet had come out, and I was like, oh, this person has composed everything that I love. Like, every single thing that I love is written by Alan Menken.
Yeah. I also love the rhymes are similar in this one as they are into the first number, but you know, suddenly I'm respectable, staring right at ya, lousy with stature. I love that. I love that.
All the lyrics are so good. Like, mm-hmm. and it's all like, it's so hard to write for a large cast like that. And the fact that everyone gets a little like peeping in that song, where it's like, a pair of new shoes with imagined laces. It's like they're listing, it's another I Want song where it's like, think of this, like, I'm going to have this. Oh, look, they're tap dancing on the freaking table. I mean, what a dream, what a treat.
Yep.
And when he grabs the fan, the ceiling fan, and he spins.
I know.
I mean.
I know. Coyote Ugly has nothing on this number.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So Sarah, at this point of the film, there's like a lot of exposition. And I feel like Newsies is very similar to Chess, the musical, where it's like, ooh, the songs are such bops. And in theory, this is a great idea. But does anybody want to see a musical about the Cold War and chess? Probably not. And that's how I feel about Newsies. I'm like, I love this for what it is. It's very charming. Did I need to hear William Hurst and, you know, Pulitzer talk about unions?
I'm pretty sure that's when I went on a deep dive of Annie Kelly and the actual strike. Mm-hmm. And I literally don't remember Hurst and Pulitzer actually speaking with one another. I remember doing a deep dive just to make sure that they were the Hurst and Pulitzer I was thinking of, because, mm-hmm. you know, touring Hurst Castle as a high schooler was like so cool. But I don't even remember that scene, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just, oh, I'm white and I'm rich and I'm old. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's basically
truly,
all it is.
Like, when I think about those parts, I just picture like a big Jim Henson looking Muppet guy who's just like, we need to take these pipes away from the buildings.
Actually, the Muppet version of this movie, obviously the two old guys, like, Pulitzer and Hurst, for sure. Yeah.
I would watch that. I think we should superimpose that into some footage.
And Miss Piggy is Anne Margaret.
Oh my God, I love this casting. Can we replace Lux, the little boy, with the little Kermit, Robin, the little frog? Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Muppet Newsies coming soon to Disney DVD.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I thought that it was hilarious that, was it Teddy Roosevelt? That's the president or whatever. But he had no lines. And I was like, I pointed it out to Adrian and I was like, oh, they didn't want to pay him and they told him not to speak.
I mean, speaking of boy Annie, I mean, at the end of Annie, FDR comes out at the end. It's truly the same thing where it's like, oh,
it's
look.
The same movie.
It was a vault in the car. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chloe, I do have a question for you because you've watched all of the behind the scenes and learned all the lingo. What does soak'em mean? They're like, oh, we're going to soak'em.
Ooh, I think
like constantly saying that.
Beat 'em up, kind of like a rumble, maybe. I feel like that was definitely in the DVD special features.
Because I'm like, I don't understand the soaking reference. Like, what are you, like? Are you saying sock 'em? But you're like,
there's a lot of just assumed vocabulary in this film. I feel like there's a lot of. Yeah, there's a lot of like, you know. Put the paper up on the board. Like, just a lot of like, soak them. The Delancey brothers are going to come swinging in. Like, just very.
I mean, Urban Dictionary says to beat so badly, the blood runs in rivers soaking their clothes.
Oh my God.
I mean, sounds about right.
Okay, well.
Sounds about right. And I mean, and as boring as those scenes are, though, like, there is an important, you know, history lesson here around child labor and unions. Like, this is actually like, could be a good movie to watch in your US history class, right?
Yeah. No, I actually, like, literally, but... one of my questions was, how do you unionize? Because there's a lot, like, of conversation around unionizing in the tech industry right now, too. And I'm like, how? I actually don't know how one unionizes. I know that my mom was part of a teacher's union when she was a teacher, and that it was important, but, like, and the fact that, you know, it really was, like, those scenes where they were just asking Pulitzer, they were like, you have two options. You can either, like, you know, like, pay them more, or, like, whatever the two options were, but he was just like, oh, so you don't want to, like, save money? And he's like, no, it's not about that, you know? It's about making sure I still have power.
My dad is a huge union guy, and growing up, I saw so many plays, like, Waiting for Lefty. Oh, my gosh. Everything that my dad did was about, like, unions. And I remember seeing this film and thinking, oh, to start a union, you sing in chorus and dance and state your demands. But it's a very interesting, like, I'm trying to imagine the pitch meeting for this at Disney, where it's like, okay, you guys, like, maybe it's like Kenny Ortega at a table with these Disney execs, and he's like, unions. Teens love unions. And they love hip hop. How can we met? Like, I'm just like, what? Like, I can imagine that this must have been a semi-hard sell to, like, and it didn't do well. Like, I understand why it didn't. Like, it has that, you remember how there was just, like, very much a newsboy aesthetic, like Fievel had this, you know what I mean? Like that whole era of, like, news caps and, like, Coming to America and, like, that era of old time New York. But I could see, if I was in the 80s, when did this come out? This came out in 92. Let's see.
92.
If I had seen this in theaters and I was, like, not 12 or 13, if I was, like, a six-year-old going, if I had an older brother or something, I went to see this, I would be like, what did I just watch? Like, I understand why this didn't do well. And I've even gone back and watched, and I'm sure we'll cover them on this show, things like Hook, things like that have a lot of adult themes in them that completely go over my head. But there's a huge difference between, like, oh, this is a grown-up thing that I don't understand, and the entire plot being centered around a strike in a union. Like, it's a bold swing for a children's film.
Yeah, you gotta start somewhere, though, because now we're adults, and we still don't even really know how do you start a union.
Yeah. To be fair, I was in The Day the Crayons Quit, which is about some crayons who unionize in the crayon box, as my dad loves to point out. But yeah, I guess, you know, where do you – I just learned how bail worked the other day, because I'd never had to think about it before because I've never went to jail. This is how I learned about unions, was dancing preteens and teens.
I will say they win a ton of Golden Raspberry Awards. They won Worst Original Song for High Times, Hard Times, Worst Picture for Newsies. Well, sorry, they were nominated. They won for Worst Song. But they were nominated for Worst Picture for Newsies, Worst Director for Kenny Ortega, Worst Supporting Actor for Robert Duvall, and Worst Supporting Actress for Anne Margaret.
I think that Kenny Ortega did a great job.
I think raspberries are almost like a joke, though, right? Like, I mean, I know they're a joke, but I mean, I think that they would nominate people who wouldn't be hurt by it. You know what I mean? Oh, it didn't do as well as you thought. Like, let's poke fun at you.
Because at the same time, Mankin was, like, not, like, won the Raspberry for High Times, Hard Times. He was winning. He won the Oscar for, like, A Whole New World. Like, literally in the same month or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not going to, doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
So, yeah, High Times, Hard Times is the next song, basically, in our plot, the Anne Margaret. And it's just, you know, it's just a debaucherous song.
We're back at the burlesque house with all these children.
Right. Yep. And this is where they're going to do their speeches and you know, really, really get the things rolling, get this strike going. And then basically chaos happens.
Yes. Right?
So, and this is the part in the movie where I'm like falling asleep.
Yes.
I just like, it's a little bit over an hour in and I'm like, I don't know. I can't we wrap this up soon? But it takes like basically another hour to wrap this whole thing up.
Well, and you think you're going to get some sort of payout from this very steamy rooftop, oddly weird kind of like cat and mouse chase scene between, I couldn't even tell you this woman's name. I've seen this movie 100 times, but it's the other guy's sister, right? Mm-hmm, it's, Mr. David Jacobs' older, younger sister.
Sarah.
And there's, like, it's weird that there's no song there. I mean, I understand why. Christian Bale, I don't think we need another song from him. But I just remember being like, oh, wow, like, the one part I could play in this, if it ever went to stage, is Sarah. And what a throwaway part.
Like, she doesn't even talk. There's one scene when, like, they've, I mean, this is like cutting far, but basically, you know, like, Jack gets, you know, captured and he has to put in a deal with Pulitzer and basically, like, you know, become a scalper, whatever. And then he gets convinced to not do that. And then they're like, I noticed this last time watching it when they're sitting down in Pulitzer's, like, attic, where he just, oh, look at this press that still works and happens to have ink. And look at all this paper we just found, I guess, in order to, you know, make our own papes. They go to sit down. And this whole scene, she's just, like, there watching them and, like, reacting and being a good little actress. She says nothing. Literally nothing this whole time. And I'm like, man, that sucks. Like, Why can't the girl? And then she, when she finally does say something, she asks a stupid question, and Jack Kelly's basically like, shut up, bitch.
So in my experience in that hard break, I figure we can peddle 1,000 a week, not even break a sweat.
That many?
More when the headlines are good.
So what makes a headline good?
Well, you know, catchy words like, maniac or corpse or, let's see, love nest, nude. Excuse me. Maybe I'm talking too much.
Like, it's crazy how poorly this character is treated in this movie.
I remember thinking, like, oh, I'm going to get off book. So, like, if I ever play this part, I'm ready. And her only lyric is, think about seizing the day. And that's it. There's, like, yes. There's, like, a one line in this, like, just like you said, Amy, like, suddenly they know how to use a freaking printing press. Where did they get the materials?
Well, who let them in? Yeah, apparently Bill Pullman taught them how to use it.
Wow.
Because as a journalist, you also learn how to print the actual paper.
I would love that scene. Just, like, a scene where it almost like some, like, an office manager explaining how a printer works in an office. Bill Pullman being like, okay, you guys, so here's a printing press. Okay, I guess this is the paper, but, like, don't tell anybody that I let you in here. Like, I just want to know how this all came to be. And also, those printing presses were super dangerous. Like, people would get their, like, hands stuck in them all the time and stuff. Like,
Right.
But what if, like, crappy part, like, imagine that girl being like, oh my god, I'm the new, like, female love interest in this new Disney musical, and like, you're barely in it, like, this poor girl.
Yeah. So, speaking of the song Once and For All, this is where the hottest of the young males in the movie is. So this song is kind of a montage. You know, do you know which one I'm going to talk about?
Oh yes.
The song is a montage. And they're, you know, they're printing the papers. And then basically, if you've never seen this movie before and you've listened this long on the podcast, basically the Newsies have decided to get all of the child laborers to strike with them. And so they've written this page to hand out to all the child laborers who can hopefully read. And they're going around the city and they're going to all these different warehouses. And at one point they go to this warehouse and it looks like maybe it's a blacksmith or something. And there is this sexy beefcake of a young man, and all he's wearing is an apron, and his, like, pec is out, and you see his nip, and he is, like, freaking buff. And I was like, okay, what? Like, who is this? And, like, what gay, like, man behind the camera was like, this is the scene we want here. And it's, like,
I see him.
3 seconds and, like, long.
His apron is, like, you know, just, yeah, casually draped around. Yeah.
He's hot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That is an adult man.
That is an adult man.
Yeah, he's looking good.
I thought you were going to say Spot from Brooklyn Tier. Like, I just remember, like, I had such a crush on this boy. I was like, I've never heard of Brooklyn. I don't know the geographic dynamics of New York, but I need to get there because Spot Conlon is there.
Yeah, he's a cutie patootie. Cutie patootie.
I absolutely loved when him and his Brooklyn gang came I can't even remember where it is now, but when they came with their slingshots, just like out of the rafters and out of the like stairs and just like attacked. I don't remember what part of the movie it is, but it was
amazing. Just as far as like newsies that stand out, like didn't have a crush on him, but adored Crutchy. Just was like, we got to take care of Crutchy. Crutchy is a national treasure. Love him so much. And in all the behind the scenes footage, Crutchy was just like such a ham. Something I love. And again, y'all, highly encourage watching this newsies, see all about it, which is the way that they say it. Like it's so great. Is they used to play little pranks on set with each other. Like they filled Kenny Ortega's trailer full of newspapers. And like it was just a shenanigan filled set. And I can only imagine if you're a child kid, especially a child actor, like it's very rare that you're doing a movie with other kids. Like you're probably the only kid on set, you're getting tutored, but this must have been like going to like an all boys, you know, overnight camp where you're doing hip hop classes and you're hanging out on the Disney lot. And Amy, you shared a very special video with us. You want to explain to the folks at home what this is and how you found it?
So basically I've seen Newsies so many times, and so when we were doing this, I was like, I'm gonna look for some like interesting tidbits. And I found out that there was like a movie that they made. And I remember being a child of the 80s, you know, in the early mid 90s, you know, you could have handheld cameras. And, you know, I know my family certainly did. And I know a lot of people that just were filming their own stuff. And so the boys on set, being nerdy, bored boys, made their own like murder mystery while filming Newsies. And apparently, how many parts are there, Chloe? You actually watched it. I didn't watch it. I couldn't stomach it.
There are three. There's actually an IMDb page for it, by the way. Wow. It's called Blood Drips Heavily on Newsies Square. And there are three parts.
And it just is like, it's such an interesting insight because you see them filming at craft services. You see them filming in their trailers. You really get a glimpse, because I thought it was so precious and wonderful that that behind the scenes footage existed on the DVD where they're like in their sweatpants and stretching. And I'm like, what an amazing time capsule. And then to see, like, it's very clear. And again, y'all, it's called, what is it called? Newsies Blood in the Water or something.
Blood Drips Heavily on Newsies Square.
It gets a little campy. I will say there's one character featured a little too much who's doing a questionable Don Knotts impression. But it's so cute because you see all the PAs, you see, and it's kind of like some sexual references in there as well that I was like, this would not fly on a set today. Like, hashtag me too. But it's so cute because it's like, of course they had all this downtime. Like,
I mean, in
what
part
else
were
they going
to
do?
Pretending to be like high on coke with like powder on their nose, and they're like, you have powder on your nose, you have powder on your nose.
I did not get that far. I need to watch part three because I didn't notice at the start of part two. I couldn't tell who this woman was, if she was just like their on-set tutor or something, but it looked like she was like on top of someone. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh no, that was a full-on sex scene. No, I was just cracking up. And I did write, I was like, it's funny to think that in 1992, when it was a handheld camera and there wasn't like the internet, of course it would be fine, because who's going to see this? Your mom? Like,
yeah,
right,
you know. And
somebody put it on YouTube,
but so. I just imagine that on today's movie sets they probably have like a zero cell phone policy, you know. I mean, like, oh, they would never. And like Kenny Ortega was just like in it, and he was like yelling at them, and like they gave him lines, and it was just, it was,
he was
hilarious.
Like cussing and stuff too.
He's really invested. He's just like, fuck you. Like, he has a like a lot of them had cigarettes in it that I was like, oh my god, these newsies.
It was 92. You were there. You could still smoke in restaurants in California in 92. I feel like maybe not. Maybe.
Oh no, you 100% could, because I remember my favorite breakfast restaurant had a smoking section and a non-smoking section.
Yep.
Divided by nothing.
Divided by a couple feet.
Thrilled to see Kid Blink featured so heavily in part one, getting his his camera time in Newsy Bloodshed, and I'm just gonna make up a different name, Bloodshed in the Newsy Town Hall. Thank you for sharing that, Amy. I had never seen that, and it brought me so much joy.
I didn't know it existed until I started trying to like geek out on Newsies. But I have, in watching it this last time, I realized at the end, and they're, you know, trying to wrap everything in a bow. So, you know, so basically all of the child laborers in New York, Newsies or not, start to strike. And so then all of the business holders call Pulitzer and they're like, you got to do something. And then, so basically they win. And like at one point, Roosevelt gets the Newsies paper and he's the governor of New York at this time. And like Bill Pullman shows up. And I just love that, like, oh, I guess Roosevelt had nothing to do that day and could just like, Bill Pullman could just show up and shake his hand. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, let's do something about this. Like, that's not how, I mean, it certainly doesn't work like that anymore. You know, if you want to get the governor's attention, you got to go to the French Laundry, I guess. But
no, I was just going to say, and I love how, like, the way that it's all kind of summarized is just like, let's do a Soul Train like dance number, mm-hmm. where each Newsie, like a parade, like it very much feels like a Disneyland parade. We're just watching right. these gates and all of these dancers are coming through. And all I can think of is just like, how many choreography rehearsals did this take? Like, right. this is Kenny Ortega's, like, I think one of the best dance numbers he's ever produced, to be honest. But it doesn't get any real resolution at the end. I couldn't tell you what happens at the end of this film, because you kind of, it's like Amy said, you fall asleep, like, you know, right. three quarters in during all the Pulitzer right. scenes and the trade negotiations of the unions. And then all of a sudden you're like, is that FDR? No. Is that Ben yeah. Franklin? No. Oh, okay. Cool. Right. Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at one point, when all the, you know, they're crowding the streets and it's like kind of feels like 76 trombones or something. I noticed this last time that there was like one little sign that says girls want rights too. And I was yes. like, yeah, same. Like, still working on it. Yep. Still working on it from 1899. Still working on it from 1992. Still working on it today. Yep. I thought I had never noticed that little that strike sign before. And I thought that was cute.
If you want to know what the real resolution of the strike was, it was that they basically instituted a buyback program. So for yeah. any newspapers you didn't sell, they would buy it back from
oh
you.
Oh my God. So
they kept up the price, like that 10 cent increase or whatever, but they had a buyback program.
They literally did what LuLaRoe did to not make it an MLM yes. multi-level marketing scheme. They're like, we have yes. a buyback program. Oh yes. my God. So the original emblem yeah. was newspapers.
Yes, it was Newsies. Yep.
The original wow. Lula Rich was Newsies.
Yes, dang. Yes. And at the very end, and Pulitzer's in his, like, tower or whatever, and I guess, like, Jack Kelly gets up there and he's like, you gotta listen to the people. And Robert Duvall, God bless him, like, and I don't know, maybe this is not Kenny Ortega's best work, but he opens... And Robert Duvall's just, like, covering his ears and he's like, close the windows. But then while he's, like, shaking his head and saying, close the windows, he's also stumbling outside. And then all the people are, like, yelling at him and he's like, no, stop it, shut up. And it's like, dude, why didn't you just stay inside?
Yeah.
There, Pulitzer,
this makes me want the old Muppets to play those parts even more, because
honestly, I swear, Chloe, we need to take out our green screen and, like, I don't know. Well, no, we don't need a green screen. I'm gonna like marry these two together. We have
close
to figure out
the
how.
Windows. It is so true. He's just like, that's very amazing. Sensitive to noise at the end.
Yeah, it's so weird. And it's, yeah, but
I remember, like, as a child, you know, like. We mentioned this, all of the adults in this film were so far removed from my, like, general consciousness that I remember thinking, oh, Robert Duvall must be Shelley Duvall's husband, because it's like, hi, I'm Shelley Duvall. Like, that's where my childhood right. brain went. And then I also remember being like, oh, like, there must be some reason why Anne Martin, like, surely there will be a resolution. Surely the mother will come back to find her son. Like, no. maybe it's Jack's mother. Like, I got nothing to tie it up at the end.
No, we never find out who Patrick is, unfortunately.
There is a very boring song, I think, that is worth mentioning. So the musical is cute. I really enjoy it. I shout out to all my gay male dancer friends who've gotten a lot of work out of Newsies. Mm-hmm. It's a very rare that there's so many men dancing in one musical other than West Side Story and maybe Book of Mormon. So shout out to mostly white men dancing in musicals. Yeah. But there's a couple changes, Sarah, that I think are worth mentioning. One is that Bill, as I mentioned, Bill Pullman's character is replaced by a girl who is the love interest, which makes for some really cute duets. Meta Larkin is usually played a little younger in it, which is a good improvement, I think. Mm-hmm. But another thing that I found really interesting about it is that she gets a song, this girl, this Bill Pullman role, which is a really, it's a bop. I believe Alan Menken also wrote all the additional songs in the Broadway musical. Would shock me if he didn't. Yeah. But it's called Watch What Happens. And it's about her writing like a big selling story. Like she's a woman working in the paper industry. She's one of the only female writers. And it's a very empowering, like lovely role, a role that I would love to play but don't have the vocal range for. And it really kind of changes the dynamic of King of New York because she's singing, look at me, I'm the king of New York. And it's like, yeah, girl, like, get it. You're in a man's world here. So I will say I appreciate the updates for the modern version. And just having, like, I mean, not a lot of other female characters, but I will say the way that they resolve the boring parts in the stage musical, because who's going to sit in the audience and, like, watch, you know, union talk for – there's, like, these songs like The Bottom Line, which – to me, like, anytime I listen to a musical, there's certain songs that I skip. They're usually, like, the songs that the dad sings, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, like, songs that are literally created to change sets behind the curtain kind of stuff.
Yes.
And it's this song that's, like, in a boardroom, and it's, like, and that's the bottom line. I mean, like, I don't know how the song goes because I literally skip it every time I listen to it. But something that I will say for the show that I really enjoy is that it starts out, like, instead of just starting out with, you know, the carrying the banner, there's this really sweet kind of soliloquy-like duet between Crutchy and Jack Kelly of Santa Fe, like setting the scene. They're like sitting on top of a roof or something, and it's like, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna find, you know, my place in the sun kind of thing. And it really establishes that like Crutchy Jack Kelly relationship. I'm team Crutchy. I feel like if I was a boy or if I was a girl in like an all-girls school, I would be Crutchy all the way. I identify as a Crutchy.
Well, Halloween's coming up, Chloe. Sure.
It's a great idea.
I have crutches from when I broke my leg.
Ooh, I'll get some like little, you know, some burlap, like wrap it up, make it like a little old, get a little newsboy hat.
Right.
I love how we just like skip the end because there really is nothing at the end. It's just kind of like a lot of exposition.
They're like, we won. Da-na-na-na.
I will say in terms of like physical comedy, I do like the moment where they get the, like they push the guy into the cop's punch or something. There was just like this really funny, like, yeah, I did like that.
I mean, other than that, Kenny Ortega is a brilliant choreographer, director, movement coach. I mean, he did Xanadu, so he's like, he's got the skates, he's got the moonwalking hydraulics for Michael Jackson. Like, hats off to Kenny Ortega, truly. And what a mullet that guy sported behind the scenes of Newsies, truly. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts on Newsies, y'all? I mean, Sarah, you've now experienced Newsies in all its glory. How are you feeling?
How would you have liked this if you had seen this as, like, think about the time when, like, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, when you were starting to put, like, you know, Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek on your folder. Like, if you had seen this movie at that time in your life, like I did, how do you think your reaction would have been to this movie?
It's a good question. I think I was – so, okay – as I like it now, I love that it's this, like, especially with the behind the scenes and the little horror movie, like, I love that it's this perfect encapsulation of, like, 1992. Because I feel like when you know some of those behind the scenes, you can kind of see it in there, like, I don't know, in the film. So anyways, I really like that now. If I would have seen it back then, it's hard to say. Like, I really, really liked... to identify with boy characters when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I identified mm-hmm. with Aladdin. I sang all of Aladdin's songs. Like, I was Aladdin when I was a kid. I dressed up as Peter Pan in preschool for Halloween one year. Like, I always identified as a lot of the boy characters. So I feel like I probably would have really enjoyed it. Not to mention, like, things like Annie were some of my favorite. Like, I mm-hmm. loved Annie. I watched it over and over again. And I watched a lot of things that were, like, I think I might have enjoyed it even as a younger child, too, because I watched a lot of things that maybe were, like, boring for young kids, like we were talking about if you were, like, six and watching it with your older brother or something. But, like one that I was telling Chloe was Amadeus, right? It's, like, this, like, really hilarious movie about Mozart, but it's also just, like, mm-hmm. an adult film and, like, really weird and random, right. but amazing. Right. And so I feel like I would have liked it a lot. And I feel like I would have more identified with the characters than, like, had crushes as much. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. There is something to be said for that era that we're all kind of from, that there was this very, like, lost boys kind yeah. of, like, aesthetic that was so, like, yeah. being the only girl in the group was always kind of exciting because you were sort of the Wendy to, like, all of these, like,
right.
lost boys, so to speak. And I feel like this comes in that same era. I actually think I remember from the behind the scenes footage that they said that the little boy, the littlest boy, that's, like, the less character yeah. was supposed to be, he was, like, originally cast in Hook as the little boy or something like that. And so that whole era of, like, you right. know, these misfit ragtag boys who, like, mm-hmm. need a leader, which maybe is what justified that Anne Margaret role. like, because it's truly, like, it's, like, almost like, you know, on Full House, there would be these storylines that were clearly written by, like, older white dudes. Like, they would have the Beach right, Boys yeah. on, and it's, like, okay, this is for an older audience. Yeah. It's a very interesting film because it's just, like I said, I would have loved to have been in the pitch room.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. like well, and it, you know, and it was written, you know, I think about movies like Stand By Me and Sandlot yeah. and, you know, other movies oh, of that Sandlot. Time and even like Goonies and stuff were mm-hmm. like really, you know, kids of the 80s and 90s. And, you know, this was certainly my experience. I was a latchkey kid mm-hmm. and we didn't have helicopter parents. Our parents were just kind of like, well, we got to work. And, you know, just if you can try and be home before it gets dark, that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, it was kind of that generation of being a kid and seeing that like you could make a difference and like you could, if you know, with the help of your friends, you can actually like do some pretty powerful stuff. And I feel like that just doesn't really exist anymore for today's kids. I don't have kids, so maybe I'm talking out of my butt here, but you know, I think it has something to do with that.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's why we like moved out to kind of a little bit of the middle of nowhere. I mean, we're like an hour away from Redmond in Washington, but we have like 5 acres and we did that specifically because I wanted my 3-year-old to be able to literally like leave the house whenever mm-hmm. she wanted to. And she'll literally just be like, I'm going to go on a walk. I'm like, bye. And I mean, I am like, we live next to a river. So I'm not being like a neglectful parent, but I'm like, no, she needs to know. Like if she wants to go out, she goes out. And if it's dark, she grabs a flashlight. And if it's cold, she puts a jacket on. And if she doesn't, she gets cold. And right. You know, I think you're right, because I'm trying to like emulate that latchkey kid style, but also maybe a little bit more aware of emotions at the same time.
like, well, how would yeah. you feel if all of a sudden, you know, Ayla in her sleep started singing a burlesque song and you're like,
excuse me. I would love it. Are like, you kidding?
Were you hanging out with Aunt Margaret tonight? How dare you?
Do you know that like the like anytime someone is like putting pants on, the whole house sings booty 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 rocking everywhere, rocking everywhere, rocking everywhere. And then Ayla goes, I found you, Miss New Booty. So yeah, I would love it.
That's amazing.
She could do it. That's my singing. Thank you.
That was very good.
Well, I just want to say thank you to you both for introducing me to Newsies, because that was truly an experience and I'm so happy that I am now no longer a part of the uninitiated. That was a lot of negatives. But thank you so much, Amy, for joining us. And is there anything that you want to share with our listeners or where they can find you, anything you're working on?
Well, it has been my absolute pleasure to be here talking about some nostalgic stuff. So would love to come back if you'd have me.
Please.
Oh, thanks. So I'm not super relevant on Twitter yet. But I am a financial advisor for, you know, my professional life. And you can find me at Money Whisper Her on Twitter or on Instagram. And my website is lulafinancial.com. If you want to learn more about how to be a responsible hashtag adult, learn about some financial literacy stuff that we don't teach in school, as well as not learning about how to form a union. I don't really know much about much about that, but I can help you with everything else. So that's where to find me.
Well, it's been a pleasure to carry the banner with all of you. And I think we'll edit in to close us out this.
It's a fine life.
It's a fine life. I think here we'll close out with that lovely Mormon vocal chorus medley here and give them a plug. But thank you so much, Amy, for coming. And
yeah, super fun. Send out the call and join the fray. Send out the call and join the fray. Wrongs will be righted. If we're united, let us seize the day. Savor to neighbor, father to son. Salute Your Sports is not endorsed by the companies featured in this episode or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only.
All names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Mix and Master by Dr. G.
Our theme song is Keep Me Entertained by Maddie McGuire.
Salute Your Sports is recorded in front of a live house plant
and in a shed
and is not produced in Nickelodeon Studios at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida.